This is Bigger Pockets Daily, where you learn how to invest in real estate 365 days a year. I'm your host, Tyler. The following article comes from the blog at biggerpockets.com, but you can't read the blog when you're commuting to work or getting your Airbnb ready for your next guest.
We know you've heard it before. Cash flow is getting very hard to find. There's always long distance investing, but you may be thinking, I don't have a team, enough experience, or the market knowledge to get in. That's where you're wrong. And it's also where Rent to Retirement comes in. Rent to Retirement offers fully turnkey properties that are newly built or renovated, leased and managed, allowing you to invest out of state with confidence. They've got single family, multifamily, new build, and syndication opportunities across multiple markets. They even have BRRRR deals with immediate equity. Rent to Retirement helps investors learn how to build a bulletproof business plan with the best investment and tax strategies around to help you reach financial freedom through real estate. There's no excuse not to get started in real estate investing when you have the right team and systems already in place. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com.
Or text REI to 33777. Again, text REI to 33777.
Managing your finances used to be a pain. It was either useless apps or overcomplicated spreadsheets.
Ugh.
But now, with Monarch Money, managing your money is easier than ever. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/bigger. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. You can even collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor at no extra cost to get a joint view of all your finances. Customize your dashboard, notifications, and budgets with a tap. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show right here will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/bigger. That's monarchmoney.com/bigger for your extended 30-day free trial.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Meet Rent App, the seamless, secure, free way to collect rent. Built by a team of fintech veterans behind Square and Cash App, Rent App uses ACH bank transfers to deposit funds directly into your account. You don't even need to download anything. Rent App setup is straightforward for renters, and there are no apps for landlords to download. Both get peace of mind with a digital transaction history. That means no more lost checks, managing a dozen different payment apps, or even wondering whether payment was sent. Landlords say Rent App is the most convenient way to collect rent, and we think you'll agree. Rent App, the free and easy way to collect rent. Learn more at rent.app/landlord. That's rent.app/landlord. Welcome to part one of a two-part series on I'm a Real Estate Agent. This is How I Feel About the NAR Settlement and the Changes to Come by Ryan Williams. Let's get to it. After multiple lawsuits, the National Association of Realtors, NAR, has agreed to a settlement with home sellers amounting to a payment of $418 million and a few monumental rule changes for multiple listing services, or the MLS, and how real estate agents conduct business. The changes will go into effect in July. This has led to an array of responses within the real estate industry, from panic and complete reworking of real estate practices to others claiming it's meh, no big deal, in business as usual. National media has seized on the story with headlines such as CNN's "The 6% commission on buying or selling a home is gone," and the New York Times Daily podcast titled "The Bombshell Case That Will Transform the Housing Market." Much of how this will actually affect homebuyers, sellers, and agents is yet to be determined, and we will have to watch and see how things develop. Here, on today's podcast, and tomorrow's actually, we will explore what changes we know will take place and how those changes could impact real estate agents. I'm going to be actually guy for a second with my index finger in the air. What actually changes for agents? The actual changes of the settlement that would go into effect if approved by the federal court are, number one, listing agents can no longer advertise buyer agent commissions on the MLS, and two, buyer and buyer agents will have to execute written agreements, buyer agency, to show homes and submit offers. No more advertising buyer agent commissions in the MLS. All right, so until now, most MLSs have allowed a listing agent to advertise a buyer agent commission. This commission was agreed upon between the seller and listing agent, or depending on the state, the listing agent decides how much of their agreed upon commission they will offer to the buyer agent. Currently, the buyer's agent could simply look at the property on the MLS, see the commission being offered, and know what they stand to earn if they complete the sale with their client. This allowed the buyer agent to largely negate talking about compensation with their buyer. Despite all the headlines, this doesn't mean that sellers offering buyer agent commissions are over. More on that later. However, it does mean two things. Number one, listing agents will get a lot more phone calls seeing what the status of a buyer's agent commission is. This isn't simply for the agents to decide to steer clients toward this property or not because of payment, which is illegal and against NAR ethics, of course, but to know if a commission is being offered or if they would need to factor that into a potential offer on the home. Although the idea of a lot more phone calls can seem like more work, good agents welcome the opportunity to talk to interested buyers and buyers' agents and have more opportunities to make deals happen. Number two, buyer agent commissions will be a negotiation point at every part of the home sale process. It will be talked about before even seeing a home, and starting a working relationship between buyer and buyer agent and structuring an offer and a potential ongoing negotiation point once under contract. Written agreements between buyers and buyer agents. The second major change brought about by the settlement is the enforcement of written working agreements between buyers and buyer agents. Technically, this will directly affect the states, the majority, that still practice some form of sub-agency. In practice, sub-agency occurs when a listing agent and seller have a binding written agreement to work together to sell the home. When a prospective buyer sees the home with an agent and wants to put in an offer, that agent enters into a sub-agent relationship or agreement with the listing agent and seller to be compensated rather than being in a written binding agreement with the buyer exclusively. Often, a disclosure of the working relationships is provided to the buyer that outlines the relationship between the seller, listing agent, sub-agent, and buyer, and says the sub-agent will work in the buyer's best interest. Simultaneously, the sub-agent is contractually a fiduciary of the listing broker and seller for compensation. In other words, the buyer is not represented. So for years, this practice has understandably been cited as a conflict of interest. And it's just kind of a convoluted way to do business anyway. So upon ratification of the settlement, buyers and buyers' agents will have to enter into a contract outlining their working relationship, defining that the buyer's agent will be the fiduciary to the buyer working solely for their interest, formerly known as buyer agency. States like Colorado, where I hold my real estate license, have been practicing buyer agency since the 1990s. Frankly, the NAR should have made all states adopt this long ago to prevent antitrust and conflict of interest complaints. This ruling should clarify the working relationships in a real estate transaction and promote more disclosure about real estate brokers' compensation. The second rule doesn't directly affect agents in states that already practice buyer agency, but these two new rules, taken together, will change how we do business and the conversations about compensation with buyers. Traditionally, I and other real estate brokers could tell buyers that they have really had no obligation to pay us directly. I will be paid by the listing broker or sellers because 99% of all listings on the MLS offer some decent compensation to buyer agents. Starting in July, without knowing what the seller or listing broker is offering for commission via the MLS, as well as it is a potential point of negotiation between the buyer, buyer agent, and seller listing agent, most brokers will have to talk about the potential of buyers paying a commission if the seller isn't willing to pay, and how all that's going to be structured. Agents will need to talk about how they will be compensated for their work, and really more importantly, they will need to hone in on their value proposition to demonstrate why they should be paid in the first place. Let's talk about that, the value of buyer's agents. The questions left to be unanswered include this. Will these rule changes bring about more competition when it comes to agent commissions? Will seller sentiment change to offering lower commissions or no buyer agent commissions at all? Or will we just go forward with a few different semantics, but run the business as we always had? So until a new norm has been set, it will be paramount for buyer agents to demonstrate their value to potential buyers, who may have to pay commission at closing. Agents need to be proactive about the following. First, the fundamentals. Buyer's agents do a lot of work that goes unseen. As agents, we need to improve our communication of the fundamentals of what we do. We are data analysts, miming through lists of properties, matching homes that meet our buyers' needs, goals, and budgets. Agents spend endless hours showing homes, pointing out both the pros that make a home special and the cons that buyers should be aware of, and that could be potential negotiation points. We simultaneously play counselor and financial advisor as we coach clients through the emotional roller coaster that is the biggest purchase of their lives. Brokers are the quarterbacks of the real estate transaction. They coordinate with the co-op agent, lenders, title companies, lawyers, inspectors, and appraisers, and ensure that everyone does their job within the contract guidelines and in the best interest of the buyer. We are expert negotiators. Personally, I saved clients hundreds of thousands of dollars on individual deals. We're experts in real estate contracts, making sure our clients have contingencies and are not taken advantage of. And we do all of this for multiple clients at one time. Payment structures. Agents need to propose structures in order to be compensated if a seller isn't willing to pay them. New ideas and models will emerge. Examples include, but are not limited to, the following. Flat fees. Many quote-unquote budget brokers already offer these flat fee models. The cheaper they are, generally, the less service you'll get. You get what you pay for, right? Minimum and maximum fees. So a broker can suggest a minimum and maximum fee. This gives some options for a seller to pay or a buyer to pay. If a seller offers a commission and it falls within the range, the seller pays it. If it's under the set range, the buyer would pay all or a partial amount up to that minimum. If a seller is offering over the max, the agent could then market this as a rebate back to the buyers toward the purchase price or closing costs. All good things. Hourly or per offer rates. This is interesting. Many have proposed that agents should start billing clients like lawyers based on hours and contracts drawn up. If it's a quick, easy transaction, it costs less, of course. If it's a year-long property search, touring hundreds of homes with multiple offers, that's going to cost more. Built into the contract. The hard truth is some buyers will just not be able to afford a buyer agent commission. An option would need to strategically build this into an offer that is acceptable to a seller. Agents will need to be upfront with buyers that this model may not be advantageous to a seller who is hell-bent on not paying a buyer agent commission. It could also be built into the loan. Consult your lenders on the legality of this. As it stands, a buyer agent commission cannot simply be tacked onto the loan. It does seem there is a roundabout way for an agent to be paid from lender credits, but it could potentially increase the buyer's interest rate. The first call I made after hearing about the NAR settlement was to my lending partners, asking them to find solutions for buyer agent commissions built into the loan. In my opinion, if the trend turns to buyers paying BA commissions, commissions being built into loans will be one of the few solutions for many first-time homebuyers. That is the end of part one. Tomorrow, we begin with how agents actually price homes. Stay tuned. That's today's show. We'll see you tomorrow. But in the meantime, keep listening to more educational real estate content with one of our top-rated audiobooks at biggerpockets.com/audiobooks. Each audiobook is a masterclass. Whether you're a rental property investor, a short-term rental host, a flipper, an agent, or private lender, you'll find a captivating audiobook to propel you to success. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 24 hours or less.